This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the November 1st edition of Invest Talk, the first day of November, my favorite holidays in this month, which is Thanksgiving. Above average investing for the average investor is what we are about here. We try to answer your questions live during this hour, 4 to 5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday. Or you can leave your questions on our 24-hour listen line. 888-99-CHART is the number. It's been the same for years and years and will be the same for years and years. So give it a call. And we'll get to the phones in just a second. Yesterday we talked about the Halloween indicator, or the best and worst 6 months of the year, and when and they just ended. The worst 6 months just ended, believe it or not. The worst 6 months just ended. And we're now moving into the best 6 months of the year. Now, that doesn't mean it will be the same this year. It doesn't mean it's always every year. Just that it's traditionally, the cycle is such that the yearly annual cycle is that the winter months, three months at the end of the year and 3 months at the beginning of the year are the best, and the other months are the worst when you compare those two. And it's a pretty striking difference if you go back in time. But there's other cycles besides that. There's the four-year presidential election cycle. There's the secular bear and bull market cycle. The cyclical cycles inside the secular bull and bear markets, and those secular bull and bear markets last from 9 to 25 years. The cyclical cycles inside those, and we're in a secular bull market phase now since 2009. The cycles inside those are cyclical bear markets inside a secular bull market. Did I confuse you yet? There is just lots of cycles. There's also the bond market cycle. You know, we have that's kind of on a 30-year cycle. Bond interest rates go up and down on a kind of a 30-year cycle. And we're at the very bottom of a 37-year in this market where you could say the bottom of our bond market cycles happened a few years ago when the Fed got the zero on interest rates, right? 2 or 3 years ago. Okay, that would be the bottom. But, you know, these are very long cycles, so they don't turn on a dime. That's not how it works. Anyways, we have a webinar on cycles, by the way. We did this webinar on cycles a couple of years ago, actually. If you want to see it, you can sign up for it. Go to be an Invest Talk Insider, and you can play the webinar anytime you want. It's easy to sign up, and it's completely free. And you do that on investtalk.com. What money matters on your mind today? Let's sort of open up the 24-hour listener line and check for questions. Here's one that came in before today's program.
Hi, good afternoon. This is Kaushik from Naperville, Illinois. I have a question regarding EPS, how it is adjudicated, and can you please explain how it works and whether it is gross profit or net profit? Requesting you to explain EPS earnings, please. Thank you so much. Great show. Thank you.
Earnings per share, EPS, he's asking. And what's earnings per share usually is the net earnings in the company's pocket per share after paying taxes, after EBITDA, earnings before interest, taxes, amortization. So it's what's left over in the company's coffer per share. That's earnings per share. Now, sometimes, you know, people use earnings per share in different ways, so you got to really understand how they're using it. But the general way that people look at earnings per share is the actual money in the pocket of the company, earnings per share. So when you hear me give out earnings per share numbers, that's how much money the company actually made after paying all its bills. Let's put it that way, okay? That's what earnings per share is. And you're always looking at the fundamentals of a company first, and that means you're looking at earnings per share. If they have no earnings per share, why would you buy the company? Why would you buy a company that makes no money? And people buy companies that make no money all the time. All the time. And people drive up stock prices huge amounts for companies that don't make money. All the time. They don't make money, not going to make money, haven't ever made money, and people push those stock prices up higher and higher and higher because someday they think they're going to make a lot of money. You want an example of that today? How about Tesla? Have they ever made money? Yeah. Let's see. Maybe they made money 1 year. Let me take a quick look on that. They had 2 years to make money. 2013, they made 78 cents a share. In 2014, they make 14 cents a share. Then 2015, they lost $5.39 a share. And then 2016, they lost $2.87 a share. In 2017, they're going to lose $6.69 a share. In 2018, they're going to lose $2.17 a share. The stock price is $321. Not going to make money. I can't buy that. Now, their sales are going well, but now they're having trouble with production. Anyways, that's what earnings per share. Always buy companies that make money. That's my philosophy. Do I ever buy companies that don't make money? Oh, yeah. Once in a while, I'll roll the dice. But generally, no. Earnings per share. So what's on your list of topics today? What do you want to talk about? Even passive investors' biggest fans still believe that active management has a place in the right circumstances. Taking action in a passive investing world. That's going to be one of our talking points today. I have other topics, of course. Did you see the new ETF that came out today? It's an S&P index ETF. Brand new, but it's dramatically different than the S&P 500 index that you are familiar with. It reverses the weighting. 100%. I'll explain that a little bit better. The near-term danger is a bubble building, not one of bursting. A bubble building, not bursting. That's more of the near-term danger. People think it's ready to burst, or a bubble might be forming now and ready to burst. I don't think so. I'll explain why. How do you know what kinds or what stocks to invest in? How do you know? What kind? What stocks? Just in general, how do you know? Well, in general, I'll explain that. The market was mixed today. The Dow was up 56 points, the NASDAQ down 11, and the S&P up 4. What was really striking is, remember I've been given this number, the volume of stocks up and volume of stocks down. Okay? High volume, not just regular volume. High volume of stocks. How many stocks were moving up on high volume today? 64. How many stocks were moving down on high volume today? 348. And as yesterday, it was 2-1, where stocks moving down were twice as many as moving up on high volume. And that's as close as it's been for a while. This is a very dramatic the other way. 64 up and 348 down. You know, is it ever... I'm just trying to give you an idea, a scope of how narrow this market move is. It's narrow, meaning there's not a lot of stocks doing the movement. They're pulling up the indexes. Not an overall broad market advance here in the last, I don't know, since beginning before the summer, really. But I've just been paying attention and reporting the news on these volume up and down just in the last couple of months, just to give you some sense of what's happening. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. This is Invest Talk. When it comes to choosing a life insurance policy, which type is best? If you've been listening to Invest Talk for any length of time, you probably know that I recommend term life insurance policies, right? Do you have questions about insurance? 888-99-CHART is our number for any money question right now.
Listening to Invest Talk, answers to important questions. What's your topic?
Getting a Roth IRA started.
My mutual fund.
Lifetime income plan with cash refund.
Why do mutual funds close to new investors?
Get your question to us now at 888-99-CHART. That's how you can reach Invest Talk anytime, 24 hours a day.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Hey, Steve. Hey, Justin. This is Alan calling you from Pleasanton, California. Had a question regarding Starbucks, SBUX. Looks like it's been trading sideways for a while. I know that they are supposed to announce their earnings later this week, and I'm just curious if you think this might be a good time to pick up this stock. I don't currently own it, but I have been keeping an eye on it for a while, and I'm interested in hearing your opinion. Thanks so much. Love the show.
Starbucks Corporation, SBUX, operates 25,085 coffee shops worldwide and 15,607 in the United States, offering beverage, food items, whole bean coffees. So Starbucks is now, if you're paying attention, it's now turned into a big blue chip stock. It's an $80 billion market cap. It's still growing, but now single digits, consistently single digits between 6 and 8%. And that'll probably fall a little bit more going forward because when you have so much of the market, you can't grow. So what's happening is the PE is getting squished. The PE is still pretty high, but it's getting squished. For instance, the last 5 years for PE range for Starbucks has been as low as 25 and as high as 39, and today it's at 27. So you would normally say, well, gee, that means it's near the bottom of its range. And it is near the bottom of the range. But I have a feeling the range will eventually get squished. And you're right, the stock has been basing for about since August. And I think this is probably a good time to buy it, to be honest. Return on equity is very high at 47%. But if you're going to buy it, you have to start thinking in terms of a big blue chip stock. Their dividend is only 1.8%, so it's not a lot. But you have to start thinking of it as not necessarily a growth stock anymore, but a blue chip stock. So that PE ratio could get squished down to a normal PE, which is 15. That doesn't mean the price of the stock has to fall, though. See, I think people are misinterpreting my words. You and I say, you know, it's getting squished and the PE is going to go down to 15, therefore the stock's going to fall. Stock price is going to fall. No. It can continue sideways and grow its money into the PE, driving down the PE because earnings are consistently still rising. Not fast, but rising. But the price of stock is not going up that fast. So I'm thinking, you know, that, you know, they're going to make $2.06 this year, $2.35 next year. Earnings are growing 10, 14%. So I can see it easily being this is the bottom of the price, unless the market crashes and takes everything with it. But it is a good, I think it's a good buy point. I think it's basing, and I think it's been basing for a while, meaning it's going sideways, and that's when you really kind of want to pick up a big blue chip stock. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. This is Invest Talk. When it comes to choosing a life insurance policy, which type is best? If you've been listening to my show, you know I always think it's term life, right? You know that. Term, not whole life, not universal life, but term. If you want to know why, call and ask. Now, here's an interesting term you should know. What is a call option? Do you know anything about options? Options, buying and selling options. A call option is an agreement that gives the investor the right, but not the requirement, not the obligation, the right, but not the obligation to buy a stock, bond, commodity, or other instrument at a specific price within a specific time period. That's a call option. You get to buy a stock at a certain price in a certain period of time, over a certain period of time. It may help you to remember that a call option gives you the right to call in or buy an asset. You profit on a call when the underlying asset increases in price. So you buy a call option at $50 a share over the next month, and it goes to $60 a share during that month, you get to buy it at $50 within that month. Go to Investopedia.com if you want more of a definition that will help you. This is Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley. 888-99-CHART is our number.
Our podcast continues next. First, we'd like to invite you to sign up for our next wealth webinar, How to Find Income and Value in an Overpriced Market. So if you're looking for income, there's a way to uncover the sources. And if you're looking for value for the long-term investor, Steve and Justin have bargain hunting techniques to share. So here's what you'll learn: how you can tell if a market is over or undervalued, how to find income opportunities, how to create an income portfolio. So join us. It's a live webinar Thursday, November 16th, 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. Pacific Time. There is no cost. All you do is register, and we'll send you the link to join us live. And because it is live, you can ask your questions anytime during the hour. Sign up now if you'd like on investtalk.com. Click on the Invest Talk tab and then Webinars. Now let's get back to the podcast.
888-99-CHART. In the passive world of investing, active strategies still have a place. Now, I've been doing this many, many, many years, right? And I can tell you from past history that passive investing, that means buying indexes and just holding on to them, has been popular off and on several times in my lifetime. When passive investing is popular is when the stock market rises on its, just is in a bull market phase like it is now. Then everybody just gets on the bandwagon and rides it. And that's when passive becomes very popular. When passive is not popular, that when the market's going down or the market goes sideways, then active investing takes place. But you still can have active means management. That means buying a mutual fund that has a manager, or having a hiring a manager like myself and have them manage your money. But active investment has its place anytime, depending on a number of things. For instance, what is your needs? Is your needs income? Well, then you can get that through passive investing. Do you want to manage the risk that you take? Well, that means you're going to have an active management style. But you can do that through a passive amount of holdings in your portfolio, certain amount of passive holdings, and a certain amount of active holdings. Mutual funds are more active. Or maybe you feel that you should be in a certain area of the market, maybe commodities. Well, you can buy a commodity index. So when you start doing that, you're not just buying the whole market, then you're starting to be active, even though you're using passive instruments. You're actively managing the portfolio. Now, when you do that, you got to keep track of your manager's investment style and track record. And you also have to settle on an asset allocation kind of plan and strategy. What do you want to do? And you can combine them. You can passive and active. You don't have to just stick with one. You don't. And for passive index investors, you got to be really conscious of what's happening, how the index is structured. I know people don't pay much attention to that, but you really should, because it's becoming more and more important. More important, not less. Remember, I've talked about where they don't split stocks anymore, and the bigger stocks are becoming very dominant in the bigger and the main and big indexes than the smaller stocks, and that's really causing a stretching of the index based on fewer and fewer shares. Something you got to be careful of. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Let's go back to our 24-hour listener line. Same number as always, 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Steve and Justin. This is Jake calling from Harrisburg, PA. Calling about B&G Foods, a ticker symbol BGS. It's at the low end of its five-year PE range. I think it's bottomed when it hit 30 a little while back. And it pays a good dividend. I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on the company moving forward. Thanks.
B&G Foods, we own this in half for a little bit, a few months in our managed accounts. I think they're in all three of our managed accounts, as a matter of fact, three of our main managed accounts. It's called B&G Foods, headquarters in Parsippany, New Jersey. Manufactures shelf-stable food products such as jellies and hot sauces, sold in the United States, Canada, and Puerto Rico. It's a 2.3 billion dollar company, It's growing its sales by over 20%, and the most recent quarter just reported 28% sales growth. But before that, was the minimum was 20%. And a year ago, they were growing 40, 50% sales. The earnings are going to be $2.08 this year, only 1% higher than last year. But next year, it's going to be 7% at $2.22. Had a very good day today. Very good day today. It went from almost $32 to $36 today because of earnings. Had a very good number. The P/E ratio is 17 and a five-year range of 16 to 27. And the dividend yield is 5.2%. From those fundamentals, you can see why we at KPP Financial would like this company. It's got growth. It's got value, and it pays a high dividend. Why would I not want to buy this company? It fell from a high of 50-something dollars a share down to as low as, $30 a share. And that seemed like a pretty good place to buy, around $30, $31. And now today it's at $35.85. You could have got it for $32 yesterday. But today you're going to have to pay up $36 because of the earnings. Is it still a good value? Well, we're not going to sell it. We're going to hold on to it. I like it still. BGS Foods. I like that dividend, 5.2%. It's a food company. Everybody's going to keep buying food no matter what happens, right? Kind of anti-cyclical, too. It's got all those things it gives me all kinds of warm and fuzzy feelings about. BGS. Coming up on tomorrow's Invest Talk, can your retirement portfolio survive a stock market crash? That's tomorrow. What's your topic today, though? My direct line is between 4 and 5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday, is 888-99-CHART. 888-992-4278. Love to talk to you. Give me a call. Let's talk about the new ETF that came out today that I noticed. It's an S&P 500 ETF, but it's market-weighted reversed, meaning Apple, which is like the largest and biggest company in the world, and has a 3.89% weighting in the normal S&P 500, would have the smallest weighting in this ETF. But this ETF has all 500 stocks in it. So the reason why it is interesting to me is because I've been whining about these big companies that dominate the indexes. The Dow and the S&P 500. For instance, Apple is 3.89% of, it represents 3.89% of the normal S&P 500 index. But do you remember the S&P 500 is 100, it's 500 companies, right? But that 3.89% is bigger than the bottom 100 of the S&P 500 stocks. In other words, the 100 of the lower S&P 500 stocks, the lowest 100, is 3.8%. But one stock, Apple, is 3.8% versus 100 of them. Well, that means, tells you the big companies drive the index, not the smaller companies. And none of these companies are small. Don't think they're small. They're not. Some of them are medium, some might be small, but most of them are, these are the top biggest 500 companies. So I find that very interesting. So it's the inverse S&P 500 that came out today. Inverse market cap size. Isn't that interesting? Come on, you got to think that's interesting. I thought it was interesting. Maybe because I'm the one that's whining about the indexes and how they're constructed, but 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Love to talk to you. What do you want to talk about? What's on your mind? We're going to go talk to Will in San Diego. How are you doing, Will?
Oh, pretty good, Steve. I know retail has been not kind of out of favor of late. I'm looking at a stock called Tangier Factory Outlets. And it's
okay, that's a REIT, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a REIT. It's come down from about $34 down to $23 and change. And I'm wondering if now would be a good time to get in on it.
What was the symbol on that? Do you remember?
SKT.
SKT?
SKT. Yes.
There it is. Yeah, Tanger Factory Outlet. And everybody knows I'm thinking, but maybe we should go over it, Will, why retail has been such disfavors. And you can all blame it on Amazon and the prospects of competing with Amazon. Everybody's afraid
right.
of competing with Amazon. Okay, but I don't really think it's going to affect the outlet stores really that much. This is a REIT focused on developing, acquiring, operating, and managing factory outlet shopping centers across 22 states. The reason why I think that these stores will be fine is because they're outlet stores and they're deeply discounted already. They're not your regular Correct. Stores. And therefore, they will compete with online sales like an Amazon. And people want to go try on the clothes and take a look. So I think they'll be fine, really. Their sales growth is okay. This particular REIT, Real Estate Investment Trust, which focuses on developing, acquiring, operating, and managing factory outlet shopping centers, is growing 5 to 10% sales per quarter. Earnings are going to be $2.06 this year. That's 13% less than last year. But it's supposed to rebound next year to $2.54, and they pay a 5.9% dividend, and it's a $23 stock. 6% of 23 is what, almost $2? No, 6% of 23 is $1.50, $1.30, $1.50, and they make $2.54. So the dividend is probably secure. The P/E ratio is 9. So it's pretty low cost, and if you want to buy something on the cheap, this probably be it. Now, the question is, I probably wait because it made a new low about 4 or 5 days ago, a new yearly low. You kind of want to wait, Will, until it starts to get a little strength before you want to buy it.
Okay.
But
so watch it for
I would wait a week. Yeah, that's all. Not long, but at least a couple of weeks to make sure that it's stabilizing. And then I'd give it a shot.
Okay. Sounds good.
Will, appreciate the call, Will. Thank you. Symbol SKT, Tanger Factory Outlet. And I do think it looks pretty good at this price level. Now, it's been falling. It was $34 a year ago. Today is $23. So it's already been, see, the question is, has it been beat up enough? And I'm thinking that it's awfully close. Good return on equity, 31%. The fundamentals look pretty good. Let's go to Ed in San Bruno. How you doing, Ed?
Hey, I'm doing good, Steve. How are you?
Thanks for the call. I'm doing great. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, my stock is, I can't pronounce it, financial something, FNGN.
Financial Engines Incorporated.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
And you buy it? You want to buy it? You own it? You want to sell it?
Want to buy it. I want a little more info, okay. And it's sort of like artificial intelligence that they're using to work your portfolio.
Right. Provides technology-enabled portfolio management services, investment advice, and retirement income services. That's what they do. A $2.2 billion company. They're growing their earnings and growing their sales pretty decently. Earnings are going up 20% this year to $1.37 from $1.13. Next year, another 15% to $1.56. Sales, they were growing 20 to 40% per quarter, but this most recent quarter, they only grew 12%. But they're still growing. But because they only grew 12%, the stock fell from 43 all the way down to 31. And is now trying to make a comeback at 35 today. So it's trying to make a comeback in the last couple of months. Bottom at 31 has been moving up. So now the question, well, it's going to make $1.56. What's that worth? Do you think it's worth a 20 PE? Well, that means the stock is going to be selling at 30, 31, 32. And it's at 35 today.
Wow.
See, I think it's a little expensive. Yeah, Ed, I think it's a little expensive. I mean, the fundamentals are there. They're good fundamentals.
Right.
But it might be a little expensive still. So I probably would shy away from it at this point. Doesn't mean I wouldn't keep an eye on it, though. I would keep an eye on it.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, that's what I've been looking at. I got one more if you got your
thanks.
Shot.
Sorry, Ed. I got to go to another call.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Ed. Let's go to Raphael in New Jersey. How you doing, Raphael?
Hi, Steve. How you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for the call.
Yep. I love the show with Aces.
Thank you.
I call about Tencent Holdings. Wanted to let you know, just get your impression because I have a big position here. And this company, it's got like these apps that basically keep all the Chinese people just, it's got like two apps that keep them, they can do everything with these apps. They don't have to go anywhere else. It's like a tremendous ecosystem. And, you know, mobile payments, they can order things, social media, everything is all in one place. They never leave it. It's like an incredible, you know, insular situation. Wanted to get your impression on that.
Okay, let's take a quick look at it. It's Tencent Holdings Limited. It's out of Hong Kong. Chinese provider of internet and mobile value-added services and online advertising. It's made 72 cents last year. 72 cents a share. It's growing its sales 30 to 50% per quarter, and they've been increasing in recent quarters. So that kind of ties in with what you're saying. The only issue you probably should consider is the cost, the valuation. They have some debt. Management doesn't own any stocks, which is surprising. At least that's what it's showing. A return on equity is very high at 31%. And the P/E ratio is at 53, and the five-year range is 22 to 54. So it's selling at the high. It ran from $25, $24 at the beginning of the year. Today it's at 46.05 as of today. 46 popped up today, matter of fact, to a new 52-week high. So,
yeah.
Raphael, this is the kind of stock that you're going to jump on the bandwagon and ride it. And knowing full well it's overvalued, but if it keeps that sales up, it'll stay overvalued and it'll keep going. The day that the sales don't meet, but the day the sales don't meet the expectations, the stock will fall very hard. So just be prepared for that. Okay?
Okay, got it. Yes, sir.
Have fun riding it.
Thank you very much, Steve.
Good luck.
Okay.
Thank you. T-C-E-H-Y. T-C-E-H-Y is the symbol, everybody. Tencent Holdings Limited. Interesting stock. The near-term danger is not a bubble bursting. The near-term danger is a bubble building. Now, what's the difference? Well, bursting means it bursts and you're going to lose all your money. But right now, the danger is it's starting to build. There's a building. Why do I not think it's, you know, built? Why do I think it's not ready to burst? Well, there's certain factors that tell me that it probably is not ready to burst. I'm not saying that the market's not overvalued. It is overvalued. I'm not saying we're going to have corrections. We are going to have corrections. I'm talking about a crash. We're not going to have a crash. Not happening. It's not there yet. And why? Well, here's some reasons I can give you, pretty solid reasons. Number one, the European Union, China, and the United States are all growing at the same time, all in the right direction, all at the same time. That's positive, very positive. Number two, everyone, or at least many, are worried that the market is too overheated. I'm worried about it too, but you see too much of it in print, not enough. Everybody's worried about, you know, the market's going to... When everybody's worried about something, it generally doesn't happen in the stock market. Number three, Federal Reserve chairmen's everywhere. National banks, every country around the world, all of them are still not pushing very hard to sop up the liquidity that's out there. Even our Fed, with their very slow increasing the rates. Europe, EU is just talking about stopping their QE. They haven't stopped it. So it's that we still have a lot of liquidity out there. And in the United States, if they get those tax cuts in, that's going to be very positive for the market. If, right? If. So those are some pretty good reasons why the bubble's not ready to burst. So the only danger you have is a bubble building. And we have to try to, when it's building, you want to ride the ride as long as you can. Just be very, very careful. But do expect corrections along the way. We've had a way too long of a run without a decent correction. So it's got to come sometime. I just can't tell. I wish I could tell you when. I just can't. It's impossible. I gave up years and years and years ago of trying to guess where the market's going to go. No one can do it. We're here for you for beginner or experienced questions. If you're an investor that's just starting out or you've been around for a long time, please call 888-99-CHART. That's our anytime
number. Good day, Steve and Justin. This is Tamara, and I'm calling regarding GE, General Electric Company. I'm looking at the stock, and it's dropping. Well, it hasn't really been performing that well here lately, but it's still considered a good opportunity to buy. Can you validate that? Is this a stock that I should be considering for long term? Please let me know. Thank you, and goodbye.
I would say yes. Yes. GE is a good company for long-term investing. It's a $173 billion market cap. It's huge. Not going to go out of business, but it's been falling for a year. And it's been falling sharply for the last month, half a month, since the beginning of October. Middle of October, been falling sharply. You have to wait till it's done falling. There's various reasons why it's falling, but it's getting close to the point where it's in a compelling value stock. I don't think it's a value trap because of its size and diversity. It's paying a very nice dividend. Dividend yield now is 4.8%. I note that insider has been buying, but they've been buying them almost all year long, so I don't know if that's a really good sign. And it looks like their sales growth have finally turned around in this most recent quarter. So the expectations going forward are pretty low. So all you need to do is don't buy it yet. Wait till it turns sideways for a few weeks and then start eking itself up. And you'll have that's a better odds of being successful of hitting its bottom. No one knows where the bottom is. But you want to buy a stock after it stopped falling. You don't want to try to catch a falling knife. My partner always used to tell me that. Don't try to catch a falling knife. It's still falling. Don't try to catch it. You can't catch the bottom. Wait till it falls, hits the ground, rattles around a little bit. Starts, as soon as it's calm, then you can pick that knife up. Okay? You're listening to Invest Talk. We have just a few minutes remaining in the hour, but there's still time for you if you want to call. You can reach me right now at 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Justin. This is Bruce from New York. Great show as always. I currently own, at a loss, HCP, which is Harry Cat Peter, in a retirement account. I bought this REIT for the dividends. The company is still undergoing their reorganization, and I want to ask you if I should hold, sell, or buy more. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
Well, if you own it, I'd probably hold it. I don't know if I'd buy more. It depends on how much of it is of your portfolio. It's HCP as a REIT, real estate investment trust, that owns, acquires, and leases 770 healthcare-related facilities. It's a $12 billion company, big cap stock. Pays 5.7% dividend. It's going to make $1.92 this year and $1.90 next year. And the reason why that's not good is because it made $2.74 last year, and the year before at $3.17. So it's reorganizing, as he said. Sales are sporadic. One quarter they're up, another quarter they're down. So they're not steady. And that's why the stock has fallen from 32 all the way down to 25. It's at 26 today, up the last couple, 3 days. I wouldn't buy more, but I probably wouldn't sell it because I would have bought it for that dividend. And I kind of like this space. I'm probably prejudiced because I do like that it owns and operates 770 healthcare-related facilities. And I'm going to get always 90% of the earnings. And they always made money. They're just money making has been going down. They're a little heavy on the debt. I would like to see them get that down. But it's a REIT. They borrow money to buy properties. So, there's going to be debt. I wouldn't buy more because the numbers still are kind of weak. you know, they haven't really turned around yet going forward. The fundamental numbers is what I'm talking about. So I'm just not anxious to jump in and put more money into it. I would not. Let's go to Nick at Hayward. How you doing, Nick?
Hi, Steve. Thanks for the good show. Very good.
Thank you.
I have a different kind of a question for you. As you know, when the some news comes out, if it's good news, the stock jumps 10 or 15%. If it's bad news, stocks goes down 10 or 15%. Now, when it's up like, say, 15%, do I sell some of the stock or do I not? And if it goes down, do I do the other thing or not? That's my question to you.
Okay. It's difficult to answer that question. Many stocks, if there's good news coming out, let's talk about earnings because we're in the earnings season.
Uh-huh. Right?
And the earnings are coming out, and then earnings are good news, but the stock falls. Generally, what that means, Nick, is somebody knew something, and the stock price rose before the earnings news came out. There's an old saying, mm-hmm. and it goes like this. It says, buy on the rumor and sell on the news. Buy mm-hmm. on the rumor mm-hmm. that there's going to mm-hmm. be good news. That's and then you sell it when the good news comes out. But mm-hmm. when the news is bad, and if you've noticed in this earnings season, in the last one too, that when they have bad news, the stock not only goes down, it gets crushed if it misses its
right.
earnings. It really gets crushed. I mean, 20% is not unusual. So, you know, it's hard to answer that question, Nick. If the stock falls... And it falls sharply for no good reason. In other words, let's say the uh-huh. news was good and the prospects right. are good, but everybody's just taking profits because the stock has gone up. Then that might be a mm-hmm. reason to buy that stock. If the news right. came out and the news was bad, you need to determine if that's a one-time bad news or is this going to be next few quarters bad news. If it's going to be the next few quarters, you got to get out. If it's a one-time thing, then you probably might as well stay in it because the fall of the price is already built into the stock once it's fallen already.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
mm-hmm.
it's very it's
but that,
it's
that
never the same.
Is not available
it's never
to
the
everybody.
Same. Yeah. Thanks for the call. I appreciate yeah. it, Nick. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks for the call. Sorry, everybody. Time to wrap it up. A reminder, even though my calendar is now full for San Jose, my visit next week in San Jose, we can get together, you know, through via Skype or on the phone to do individual portfolio reviews. Just go to investtalk.com, click on the Invest Talk tab, and then portfolio review. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. I'm glad you could be with me today. On behalf of Judge Klein, everybody at the KPP family, thank you for being part of the program, and let's do it again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.